welcome to Show Me Your Mic, the podcast where I talk to folks about how they use shovels to get rid of snow. Show me your shovel. It's the new show I'm doing. No, I'm just under a bunch of snow here at my home, but I'm still podcasting. I've got Aaron Goodwin, host of Three Guys, Three Questions, a comedy podcast. We talk about podcast editing for comedy, the benefits of upgrading to Logic Pro X from GarageBand, and recording and producing podcasts with Yetis, if you can believe it. My thanks to Campaign Monitor and A Small Orange for sponsoring this episode, supporting me on Show Me Your Mic. More about them a little bit later on in the show. For now, here's my conversation with Aaron.
That's just like a podcast fugue state where you're just letting it come into your system. Yeah. That's wow.
Yeah. So there's certainly, there's always somebody. That's the thing with the beauty of the web. There's always somebody with more.
Somebody worse.
Yeah. Or worse.
Or better.
So I'm chatting with Aaron Goodwin. Welcome to Show Me Your Mic. You do a podcast called Three Guys, Three Questions.
Yes, sir.
And I just learned about Apple Valley. No.
Yeah. Apple Valley, California.
There we go. Which, little segue, if you're in the area at all, which is somewhere in the LA area, I don't really understand how geography works in the US, but there's apparently cities and places that you can go. And one of them is as I try and find the link, I just had it here and I don't in front of me. I can't navigate our own website. That's my problem. there's a good stuff hangout happening today. So if you happen to be listening to this on Tuesday, February 17th, 2015, there's a good stuff hangout happening. Kyle Roderick and Tim Smith of Good Stuff, along with friends and family. And why doesn't Kyle have a link to it in his own show notes? I guess that's...
See, those are two good guys to go hang out with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess I'll have to go to Tim's show and find it because Kyle didn't put a link in his show. So, and where? Drip Coffee Bar, Tuesday, February 17th, 7:30 p.m. There'll be a link in the Show Me Your Mic show notes. goodstuff.fm/smym/ where are we? 72. I swear I'm prepared. And you can, if you don't, I think like it's not like you have to have a ticket to get in, but just so they have an idea of how many folks are coming, you can RSVP there or just show up at the Drip Coffee Bar. I assume there's only one in Los Angeles. It's a pretty small town from what I hear. And you can check that out and hang out and chat podcasting and stuff with Good Stuff folks. They'd love to see you. And they might even have some stickers. I sent some down to Tim and Kyle, but if they use them all up for themselves, then I guess they won't. So your mileage may vary. Anyways, back to your show. Tell me what's the premise, the conceit behind Three Guys, Three Questions.
What is our show?
Why would I listen to your show?
Why on earth would you listen to our show? Because we are definitely three white dudes who are single and middle class that talk about things. I mean, that is my
It's
my
good to have
selling
one of those.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally,
we have one of those podcasts. You know, it started out, me and two friends we all watched Dig Nation way back in the day. And so we just brought a camcorder on this little kind of road trip we had, and we made a little podcast episode, and we couldn't figure out what to do. So we said, hey, let's just each ask each other a question. We each come up with a question. So we took, you know, a minute or two to come up with a question. And then we each in turn answered each other's question, if that makes sense. And so the purpose of the show is basically to try to get each other to embarrass each other. So nice. It's kind of a comedy kind of a thing, kind of in the vein of You Look Nice Today, which we've been compared to unjustifiably because that show is genius. but I think we have a lot of fun, and I think it comes through. And there are a lot of people who really enjoy it, who I respect, which has been a cool experience. But yeah. Just three dudes shucking and jiving.
Yeah, and that's – I was – I again, like with this premise of my show with Show Me Your Mic, random folks who do podcasts coming on the show. You never know. I never know what I'm going to get. Luckily, yeah, it's been all good, yeah, except for that one time. No, but and it's always interesting. Just like you have no idea what kind of voice is going to come out of the speaker and what kind of show they're going to have, the quality, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was really impressed with. And I initially had looked and thought you were. I missed the season part and realized and just saw episode 6. And I thought, oh, they're just getting started. And then I realized after I listened, obviously, that you're well into season 3 as the.
And we decided to do the whole season thing because we started in like 2007 and did one season, and it was a video podcast back then, and half of them are missing because we threw them up on Vidler.com and then we stopped doing the show. And then when I thought, hey, maybe we should try this again in 2013 or 2014, you know, Vidler was gone. Only the videos that I had somehow saved survived, but you can find them. Yeah, don't judge me based off of them. But so we decided, well, we need to do a season 2. We need to do something to differentiate. So it was like a reboot. So it was season 2.
Nice.
And now we're on season 3. Yeah, and we just did episode 6.
Yeah, I think that allows for it's a common debate among podcasters of like, do you do seasons or just go in perpetuity or whatever that word is. And I think it's nice, especially I would guess a comedy sort of focused discussion show where it's like there's only so many jokes you can make and try to get, you know, you get a little rusty or whatever or tired, and then having a fresh start helps.
Yeah, and it leaves it open. The thing I didn't want to do is rope in, since it's me and two other guys. I didn't want to rope them into like, this is something we're going to do forever.
Right.
Now, we probably will because we're all really, really enjoying it. But for instance, by the time we got to the second season, one of the guys was like married, working full time and going to school full time. There's no way he could fit it in. And so we had to find a replacement. And so I think having that break gives us opportunities to do something different, to kind of change it up. So that people know season 3, there might be some new features of our show. And there will be. We're already planning ahead for that. So each season's about 15 episodes.
Yeah. And do you come, like, obviously the premise, like you said, three guys each bring a question and then the other guys answer it. Do you show that stuff beforehand? Or are you prepping like in advance secretly? Or
the inner workings. Yes. Yeah. So we have a show notes document that we keep in Google Docs, and each week we put down what each of our questions will be. We aim for getting them on there by Thursday, and we record on Saturday so that we have a day or two to look at them and think about them. But more often than not, those questions get put on Friday night or Saturday morning just before we're about to record. So we do have a little bit of an advance notice, but more often than not, we don't quite know. Or if we do, it's pretty brief.
Right. And you're the one who's sort of organizing the show and setting things up.
And then every week, once we've recorded that show, I make a copy of that document in Google Docs, throw the other one into an archive folder, and then, you know, delete the questions, and we just start over again. So it's just this repeating cycle that goes on.
Yeah, and I think what you alluded to other, or, you know, being compared to You Look Nice Today and other shows, and I think one, it just the camaraderie that can develop over a time of doing this kind of thing, that's what initially sort of like drew me into the show, is just that the fact that you guys are obviously friends, and it's easy to have sort of inside jokes, but they're not so inside that you can't, you know, laugh along with you guys on stuff or whatever, you're making fun of each other and stuff like that and that kind of thing, which is, I think it makes
that's
for
nice
a great,
of you to say.
Yeah, it makes for a great show. It's a nice, as much as we were joking about, you know, three white dudes talking tech on a podcast, which is, you know, luckily there's a few of those, but it does allow for a different kind of fare than your typical heady stuff that
we try not to get too serious. I mean, sometimes we will get serious. There's been times where we've talked about, especially when you know, the whole Gamergate stuff was boiling up, you know, we kind of had some discussions about feminism, but not super serious. And it's a serious subject, and we kind of talked about those things. So it leaves opportunity to get into serious topics, but it is generally really lighthearted. And it is nice that we have that sort of chemistry between us already. And one of the things that makes it maybe that people don't realize that I think does make it like You Look Nice Today is that there's a lot of editing going on. As I understand, there's a lot of editing going on for You Look Nice Today. And I spent a lot of time in there, and it's probably making Dan Benjamin roll over in his grave to hear that I edit that much. I probably spend like 4 or 5 hours on each episode. But
wow,
that nice. Timing of comedy and kind of cutting out stuff that's filler or stuff that we accidentally say that no one's going to know about. Like we mentioned someone by name. Nobody knows who that is. So that can't be in there, you know. Mm. There's a lot of that kind of thing.
And so that's interesting because listening to it, I wouldn't have initially guessed. I mean, I haven't listened to every single episode, so I wouldn't know necessarily the whole sort of path of things. But I wouldn't have. So obviously, great job on editing, first of all.
Thanks.
But how are you deciding, say you record the show, are you making notes as you go, sort of like, okay, roughly around 20 minutes is when there's a dumb joke that doesn't land, so let's move, cut that out, or is it kind of like you're listening to it afterwards or a bit of both?
It's always afterwards. I really try hard not to evaluate how funny something is as it's happening. I think each of us do it. So me and the other two guys that do it with me, Andrew and Adam, we're all three A names. This is absurd. It wasn't planned that way. But we each really want to be critical, but it's kind of like improv where the rule is you have to just kind of go with it. You have to say, all right, I accept this, and then build on it. And so being critical while we're recording would probably cause a sort of just inability to to talk. And so knowing that it's going to be edited later kind of gives us the freedom to kind of say whatever we feel like. And if we realize something's really stupid, we could get rid of it. Or sometimes if a joke falls flat, you can play that up by putting in some silence after the joke, you know, or cutting to a transition so that it makes people laugh at the person who made the dumb joke.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's just thinking about that. There's often can be the sort of the extreme of like trying too hard for, and I'm not by no means an expert when it comes to comedy and timing and stuff like that.
I mean, I'm not either, right? I'm just some guy.
Yeah, exactly. We're all just
learning
some guy. It'll be interesting. Like you're processing and trying to make a joke, you know, and then it becomes too awkward, obviously, and you're trying too hard almost in that extreme. But then, yeah. Does the environment, like, do you record still on use YouTube Hangouts, or was that just, that was the old stuff?
That was the old style. Oh, okay. So we started out in season two using Hangouts. And then when we started recording season three, we moved to Skype because we were doing video. Because a lot of the people who liked our show when we started, it was a video show. And so trying to sell them on they might not be podcast listeners. You know, they might just have watched this video with these guys. And so we were trying to direct them towards subtly. By the way, the audio is more edited. Like, we didn't edit the video. We just, you know, recorded the Hangout, threw it up on YouTube. But then tried to be like, also, there's audio. And there's some people like Jen 10, who is a mega fan, who she kind of misses those Hangouts. And we did them live. Like, we streamed them live. But it was just a lot of work. So it's been a lot nicer to just do it on Skype and not do it live.
How do you mean a lot of work? Just because of like setting up everybody and that, the technical stuff?
Yeah, technically, and when it came to there being issues where people would cut out, you know, just inevitable issues. Mm-hmm. Google Hangouts is pretty solid, but there were still times where we had drop-offs and weird issues with it. And I have to say Skype has actually been more reliable over the long run, which is saying something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially, and you're dealing with, you know, three different people's bandwidth levels and sending video over that in addition to audio. It's just adds a lot of issues. So
yeah, and we don't have to get dressed.
Right, exactly. Certainly, that's a bonus. It's one reason why I don't have video shows.
I'm glad you don't have video because I'm in a robe right now.
Nice.
It's a nice soft terry cloth robe.
Well, that probably helps with the audio, and we'll get into the mics and stuff you're using.
I hope it comes through.
Yeah, less hard fibers for the audio to bounce off of and echo.
Yes.
So I want to hear a bit about the editing process and what you're using. But before I do that, I just need to take a quick break for a sponsor. And our sponsor for this episode is Campaign Monitor, which you've heard us talk a lot about here on Show Me Your Mic and Good Stuff. They've been supporting us since the very beginning, and coming up on our 1 year anniversary here in March, it's awesome to have them around still and supporting us. And so what you can use Campaign Monitor for is sending beautiful looking emails. If you need to send an email campaign in a hurry, you can try your hand at their template builder and have a responsive email template ready in 60 seconds. Do you say template or template?
Template? I think.
Is that the US? That's probably more US than, since they're Australian, I'm going to assume they say template as well, because that's the way you should say it. Just like meters and centimeters. With geolocation segments, you can even send more personalized emails to your subscribers, depending on where they are in the world and that kind of stuff. And they've been, like I said, great supporters of Good Stuff. So I'd encourage you to check them out to support our show, this show, and our network at campaignmonitor.com. And thanks to them for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. So, your editing process will sort of maybe work. Usually I go from the mic down, but we'll start with the editing and go back out.
Oh, okay.
But and end on what kind of robe you're wearing. But the, when you're editing a show like this, are you doing your track and then the two guests or your two co-hosts
We do what's commonly known as a double ender. I guess it's a triple ender.
Right.
So each host is recording their own track. Now, I'm the only one on a Mac, so I'm using Call Recorder to record my local microphone plus the Skype conversation, just in case there's a problem on their end. But we've never had to do that. They record in Audacity on their end because they're both on Windows.
Right. And then they just send you their WAV file. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And then as far as what are you using for editing the software itself?
Yeah. So I was using GarageBand for a long time, probably until episode five was the first one where I started using Logic Pro 10.
Nice.
Logic Pro X.
Yeah.
I know. I know it's OS 10. If I say OS X, people will come at me with pitchforks.
Yeah.
But yeah, Logic. Holy cow. That was worth the money.
Yeah? How so? Because I know that's a common, it's 200 or depending on where you are, 200 and change or whatever. Yeah. They just, because of the Canadian dollar, US dollar, it went up by $30 just for.
Oh, cause of that's
the,
fun.
Yeah, so it's $230 now in Canada. But
$30 difference?
Yeah. All the apps now, instead of being like, 99 cents, $1.99 or whatever in the app store, it's like five.
$30.99? Oh.
Yeah, like a dollar. Yeah. No, it's like $2.37 and like all these weird. Yeah. Anyways, it doesn't look nice. But what was the sort of big change that you noticed?
Yeah. So the first big change is that you can set up templates, which I was kind of doing in GarageBand, but it didn't quite. It just didn't quite work correctly, but you just start out with a template, drop the files in, and you're pretty much good to go in Logic. And then I think the second biggest thing is the feature to strip the silence out, especially since I do editing where I'm just moving things around a little bit. So what Logic will do is it will just cut out all the points where there's silence, when there's not really anybody talking, and it will turn your track into a bunch of little chunks. So every time you're talking, it's just a chunk. And then when you're not talking, it's empty. So you can move the parts of your conversation around a lot easier. And then the third part about that is that there's a lot of keyboard shortcuts. So you can just do it a lot faster than having to use your mouse or your trackpad to drag things around.
Yeah. 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 It's the template thing is a big one. I know I don't have Logic Pro 10 yet. I'm still back on Logic Express or whatever version it was, but yeah, the template thing is huge. And especially if you're doing even like one show consistently, but in our case here, in my case doing.
Oh yeah. If you're doing a bunch of shows, man. Yeah.
Cause the kind of things like you have intro music and then little bumpers and stuff. And so you can just have that in your template ready to go. So you don't have to go find it each time you want it kind of thing.
Yep. And all that little stuff is just kind of a dumb thing to complain about. Right. It's like, oh, it's so hard to go to the folder and drag the intro music. But those things compound, and especially when you're spending as much time editing, any little bit that cuts out is a big deal. Saves me some of my Saturday. I actually get to do some stuff.
Yeah, and it's – are you doing – I forgot to ask you, is it weekly that you release the shows?
Yeah, we release the shows weekly. And we're actually going to start doing – some in-between-isode kind of a thing, because we're getting a lot of questions from fans that we just can't cover in the episodes. So we're doing a kind of a lightning round. That should start in a couple weeks. We're going to start doing those to do them midweek. But we record them at the same time. But, it, you know, it's extra editing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for folks who don't do a lot of editing on their show, maybe just talk a bit about like how, like you said, you know, maybe 4 hours or whatever you might spend on editing a show. How, what's taking up all the time? Not that I doubt that it's worth it, but it's
why does that take so long?
Can't you go faster?
It's so our shows, we generally record for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, sometimes over 2 hours. And our episodes we release are generally 50 minutes to like an hour and 10 minutes. It's in that kind of range. So I'm cutting about half of the material. Now, some of that is us just kind of talking beforehand and then after the show kind of talking. But sometimes I use that stuff in the show because it's a pretty funny joke that we make when we weren't really meaning to be recording. Yeah, and so we have, I mean, we have the stuff after, you know, the way our show is structured. We have a cold open, theme music, a little bit of follow-up. Then we get into our three questions. After that, we have a little bit of, you know, where to follow us. Then we have our closing theme music. And then after that, we usually have something from the show that didn't fit anywhere else or that most people probably don't care about. So if you hit the theme music and you're like, all right, I'm done, you can move on. But it's kind of, you know, more inside baseball stuff going on at the back of the show. So figuring out what goes at the front and the back takes a little bit of time. And then, yeah, just editing everything for comedic timing. I mean, honestly, as we've done it, we've gotten a lot better with our timing, and Skype has helped that out a lot because latency on Google Hangouts was really making us talk over each other a lot.
Right. Which I was going to say, because it seemed like at first that Hangouts would be better because you could see each other and you know when so-and-so is done talking or whatever. But yeah, if there's even more latency, than any sort of like witty comment after they're done or whatever is going to be that much more awkward. Yeah. Or
yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. So honestly, that's improved my editing times a lot, but you know, I just like playing around with it. I have so much fun doing it. If I didn't like doing it, I wouldn't do the 4 hours of editing. It wouldn't happen, but I really, really, really enjoy it.
Nice. Yeah. I think that's what maybe podcasters who are listening can take away from that too, is like this show that you're listening to now, Show Me Your Mic, I don't do a lot of editing on. Obviously, I edit for issues when Skype drops and I, you know, I pre-record or post-record, whatever. I record an intro after the fact and stuff, but there isn't a lot involved, and it's kind of just the discussion is as it happens, you know, record to tape or whatever. But that's because I don't enjoy, at least with this kind of discussion show, doing a lot of editing. But if you do enjoy that, then by all means, spend the time, you know, if that's part, half of the fun of podcasting or whatever, you know, percentage it might be.
Yeah. And it depends on the kind of show, right? Like if I was doing an interview show, I wouldn't edit it either, because part of what makes an interview show, I don't know, so interesting is that the realness of the conversations, the ums, the pauses, the waiting for the answers. I think that is what people want to hear out of an interview show. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. And not everybody has to be a serial or whatever show that is the top topic of podcasting. So, okay. So going out from that, I guess, what do you have a digital box of some sort or a preamp or something like that you're using to hook into your Mac?
Super fancy. And I have a USB cord that goes directly into my Mac.
Nice.
And so
what kind of mic are you using?
I'm running a Blue Yeti.
Which pause is a groan or joy, depending on where you stand on Yetis.
I know people really have some strong feelings. I'm glad that whole conversation's kind of toned down. Because
yeah, at the end, that's a thing. I again, like I've at the end of the day, it's just you're recording something and it's there. And
it's, yeah, and I mean, it's I don't know. There's a rabbit hole you can get caught down when it comes to recording equipment. And I look, I know that there's better microphones I could be using. I know that there's things that could make my voice sound better. But it works for me. I started doing recording when I was like in high school. I had a friend who's he lived with his mom in this small house. His mom moved for a job, so he was basically in high school He was 18, so he was like living by himself. So we turned the house into a recording studio.
Nice.
yeah, we were all in bands. And so we used to do a whole bunch of recording there, and we did all kinds of crazy stuff with different kinds of mics. We even had like a handset from a public pay telephone that he had somehow acquired. I don't know how, but we tried weird things like putting the microphone into a block of concrete just to see like what would happen, you know? So, I mean, it's not like I'm a, I'm an amateur and oh, I can't tell a difference. It's, you know, it's a law of diminishing returns at some point.
Yeah. And I think what's one thing that like there's the Yeti, where as much as it gets flack for, is often because folks don't know how to use it at all in the right scenario. And you, by, you know, even just watching the YouTube videos and stuff, like as far as mic technique and, and just like, I wouldn't have guessed. I think you'd be hard pressed to say that someone, some audio snob, could sit there and identify that you're using a Blue Yeti and I'm using a Heil PR40 or whatever. Like, I think you'd, there's a lot of other factors. For example, I was going to mention this at the end. I got some feedback from a gentleman named Harold who listens to the show, and people can email me, chris@goodstuff.fm, if you have comments or questions. But he mentioned that volume levels seemed like the loud and the quiet was a wide range, and he was having trouble sort of hearing. If he turned it up too loud, then loud parts would be. And there's obviously like that stuff that's on me, and that's, I appreciate the feedback, Harold, by the way. There's editing and all sorts of other variables that go into this as well, besides just the mic.
You can make the most pristine recording that people are going to listen to on their crappy car speakers or their crappy headphones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when it comes down to it, you know what I mean? You want to have, as an audio file, you want to have this, you know, wide range of lows and highs, and you want to have all this stuff, but really, people aren't listening to it for that, probably.
Right.
So it is kind of hard.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, mic technique or whatever, things that you, like I might, mm-hmm. I'm thinking for Harold's case anyways, it might have been an episode where I was not talking properly into the mic because I was distracted by something else or whatever, or my kids were screaming outside or whatever. And, or just I messed around with the gain too much or something. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But you do want to be listenable and understandable, especially because it's talk radio. It's not just music that you're sort of have background. And so anyways, I appreciate the feedback, Harold, by the way. And do make efforts to make sure my lows are higher and my highs are lower.
I mean, it's good to get feedback like that. Maybe I'm inviting too much for you. I'm not trying to speak for you, but I like getting feedback like that. Even if I disagree, it's just nice to know that people will pay attention to that stuff, and it might be something I miss. Like, on the off chance I did miss something really bad that I didn't realize, it's nice to know.
Yeah, I've played guitar, so I play guitar, and you know, if I'm playing and you make a mistake and you know you made a mistake, but no one comments on it, it kind of makes you wonder, are they actually listening to me? And same thing here. Like, it's nice to know that, like in Harold's case, and I'm sure others too, like there's issues, I'm sure. I'm still learning, but like that someone's listening and cares enough about wanting to continue listening that they're not just going to go away, but they're going to send you feedback and say, hey, this would be awesome. And obviously, you know, if it's given in the wrong spirit and the wrong message or whatever, you know, your voice sounds like a monkey or whatever, and they don't want to listen because of that, that doesn't help. Anyways, I digress. So, and then for your co-hosts, going back to gear and stuff, are they, do you sort of have a gear requirement for them, or what are they using for stuff?
We do have a gear requirement now, because when we started, Andrew, one of our hosts, was using some sort of like $5 microphone. I think he purchased off of a homeless person, on the street. It was just terrible. And I had to do so much tweaking around and to make it sound even like not decent would be saying too much. It was really bad. Sounds like bad. I basically put my foot down for season 3. I was like, look, you need to get a microphone. Here's the microphones I suggest. And it turns out he just moved into an apartment with a roommate who he just met who had a Yeti. So he's using a Yeti. My other co-host bought a Yeti early on, like about the same time I did. So we're all on Yetis. We're all a like happy test. Yeti family.
Yeah. Three guys, three Yetis.
You can, oh, man. That sounds like a fun, fun time. Just picture Yetis in a China shop tearing everything up.
So if you have a real thing against Yetis, you may not want to tune into that podcast. But otherwise,
oh,
you'll enjoy it. So
now that I've told everyone, I've just let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Zero listens next week.
Exactly. Yeah. Luckily, we're not all that superficial or whatever. Cool. Well, I'm trying to think. And then as far as hosting, I noticed are you using Simplecast, is it? That's
yes, we are.
How has that been?
It's been great. I haven't used Libsyn or some of the other things that people use. So I guess I'm not really coming from a place of knowledge. I'm kind of ignorant, but from what I've seen, Simplecast doesn't have as detailed statistics, but from my understanding from talking to the guys over there, they do a lot of work to try to weed out false positives for your numbers. So they do a lot of work to try to give you what is as close to your real downloads as possible.
Right.
And there's always factors like if someone owns an iPod or, you know, owns an iPhone and an iPad and they download it, it's hard to differentiate. But yeah, so I just kind of like it. It's you know, it's in the name. It's really simple. It's pretty nice and affordable. We might play around with trying other things, but for now, it works really great.
Yeah, that's what I think. There's been a few of the last few guests, anyways, that are using Simplecast as well. Which is it's again, that's not the main thing. Obviously, some of us gearheads or webheads get
focused. It's not really front facing. Yeah,
yeah, and you get focused on what tools you're using, or whatever, and obviously that's the main idea behind this show. But it's also just like get your thing out there, and podcast is the sort of why we got into this, not messing around.
Yeah, and one
stuff.
Of the, I mean, my only gripe about Simplecast, and if anyone from Simplecast is listening right now, images in show notes, please.
How so? Like the ability to put an image in the show notes, you mean?
Yeah, you can't put an image in the show notes. And I've tried every which way to use Markdown in their editor to like reference an image hosted somewhere else. Right. I can't get that to work. Maybe I'm missing something, but
interesting.
Images in show notes, guys.
There you go.
So many wasted GIFs.
Yeah, that's actually the next frontier is podcast players that support animated GIFs that... in show notes, I think.
I think there is one.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that later because I know you're going to ask me about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good teaser for what we'll talk about in a second.
Hey.
I just need to stop for one more sponsor break where a way you can support the show anyways is using a Small Orange. It's a web hosting company that I'm affiliated with and also do some hosting with. And I think if you're looking for hosting for a website and or a podcast even, you can check them out. They have a simple vision, perfecting hosting while maintaining a homegrown feel with a focus on people, their customers, their employees, and their community. A Small Orange isn't like those big hosting conglomerates. They don't promise unlimited plans that are actually hindered by hidden limitations. Instead, you're only responsible for paying for the resources you need. Whether you're just starting your own blog or you're running a powerful e-commerce site or maybe a podcast, they have a plan for you. I think starting is like $35 a year for the first low-level plan, $5 a month or $10 a month if you need some more power behind your website or want to host multiple websites. And of course, like I said before in previous episodes, before I could recommend them, I wanted to set up an account myself. And so I recorded a screencast, which you can check out. I won't try and regurgitate the YouTube URL. So visit goodstuff.fm/smym/72 and follow the links to a Small Orange and or YouTube to check them out and support Show Me Your Mic. So, Well, you talked about what app are you using to play your podcast with, and then we'll hear.
I am using Overcast.
Nice.
I really like it, and it supports animated GIFs, which is probably like 50% of why I am using it.
Nice.
They're very important to me.
Yeah.
So
I hadn't.
I know what.
I hadn't realized that podcasters were even throwing animated GIFs in there, but.
Yeah, there are some who are really making use of it.
Yeah, the people who use anime GIFs use them a lot. That's the which I do, but in Twitter and stuff, but I hadn't, yeah, I hadn't even thought of it. With.
Yeah, I have a Giphy thing built in. So I use Alfred for my launcher. And I have a GIF search for Giphy on there. And then on my phone, I've got a Launch Center Pro action to search for GIFs and give me the URL for Twitter. I have a problem.
Yeah. Nice. Do you use, curious if you're using, is there any sort of podcast-centric things that you're using Alfred or Launch Center Pro for, like for as far as your show? Or is there any sort of applications there?
Good question. For the phone, I was using Launch Center Pro to launch pre-formatted tweets for when we did our live shows, but we're not doing those anymore. So I'm just looking at my Launch Center Pro. I don't see anything right now that I'm doing. Well, you know what? I do have Google Drive shortcuts for folders. So I do use that to access things.
Right.
Alfred, I use it for like everything. So like if I'm thinking of something to search for while we're recording, I'll just hit that command space and then search for a website that we talk about, you know, while we're recording.
Right. Yeah.
I've been meaning to do, so I have this thing installed that launches Keyboard Maestro macros, and I have one set up for a couple other things, but I'm going to set one up for opening all the windows for a podcast. I've been meaning to do it and I haven't.
Like all your like opening Logic and opening.
Yeah. Just use.
Yeah.
Open everything so I don't have to individually open all the stuff and set it up on the screen. I've used that for other stuff, like for when I'm studying for something or I'm reading. But I do need to do that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's funny because Alfred's become such a part of my muscle memory that I don't think about that I'm using it. I only realize that I'm using it when I'm showing someone something on my computer for, say, like at work. And they're looking over my shoulder and they're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah, totally. That's a little bit like Text Expander is a similar idea of like,
oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, Alfred's way more powerful in terms of all the things it can tie into. But that idea of like just you hit a few keys and all of a sudden little stuff appears and people are like blown away that.
Yeah. And I use Text Expander for a lot of things. I mean, probably not as much as some people. Like I listen to like Mac Power users and I hear about people, what they do with Text Expander. I'm like, I'm really underutilizing it. But for what I do, man, it saves me so much time.
Yeah, totally. And you forget that, like you said, you sort of forget how much you use it for and lean on it. And then, you know, like Text Expander has that little thing where it shows you how many characters or typing you've saved hours.
It's
kind of neat to see. But yeah, so cool. Well, you said Mac Power User. What other podcasts are you listening to?
I'll tell you, well, going back to animated GIFs, Defocus is a really, really, really good show that, I'm finding out not like there's people who listen to our show who don't listen to Defocus and I don't understand that. cause it's such a good show. And it's Dan Sturm and, Joe Steele, who were, I think they probably got their start out. I might be butchering this, but they were both fans of Bionic, which later turned into, I'm forgetting the name,
Bonanza.
Yeah. And so I think they kind of formed a bond over that, and their podcast is basically we watch a movie and then we talk about it afterwards. They're both in the VFX industry, and they put animated GIFs in their show notes. Like every show there's usually an animated GIF to go along with the show, especially if there's like a guest host, they'll, you know, put his face on some sort of GIF from the movie or something.
Nice.
And it's slightly disturbing, but it's pretty awesome.
And I guess being in visual effects, they have a leg up on the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't do that.
Cool. What other shows are you listening to these days?
I'm loving Rocket on Relay FM.
Oh yeah. The video game.
It's not necessarily video games. It's just Christina Warren and, oh man, I'm forgetting everyone's name right now.
Brianna Wu.
Brianna Wu is on there. The other
Simone,
person.
I think. Simone. I don't want to butcher her last name. Yeah.
Yeah. Daron or something in French. It's awesome. It's so good to have female voices you know, as a guy who has the word guy in the name of his podcast, I think having that, maybe that balances out the karma in the universe a little bit, that there are three women talking about. And it's kind of, they're kind of in a similar vein where there's not a topic that they're always talking about. They pick up different things each week, but they're all three of them such interesting and intelligent and funny people that they just have a really good chemistry, and it's a fun show. They talk about things I would have never heard about, you know, these like 80s girly cartoons that I'd never watched. Nice. But it's so cool to hear them talk about it. You know, I'm never gonna most podcasts I listen to, they don't talk about purses,
right?
But it's super cool, you know what I mean? It's all this different side of things that I'm not hearing enough. So it's good to have those female voices. And then like the last one I'd say that I'm really loving is All of the Above, which is it's like a design focused podcast. So you have one host who's works in UI and UX, and then you have another host who's educational design. And then you have another host who's some sort of engineer of some sort. But they do some really cool stuff, and they're at alloftheabove.audio. They're good friends of ours at Three Guys Three Questions. I highly recommend it because they kind of go into these deep dives of technology topics. So they spend the first few episodes going one by one through the default apps built into your iPhone on iOS, and just kind of talking about messaging, talking about calendars, and their show notes are insane. They're like the most detailed show notes I've ever seen in my life. Like you could spend 3 weeks just reading through everything in their show notes. They're so prepared. It's amazing.
Nice. Yeah, they've got the sort of time codes and yeah.
Yeah, they're
nice artwork.
They are on top of it.
Yeah. Which I guess you would hope with UI and designer folks involved, they'd
yeah.
have a good sense of that. Cool. Well, that's some any others that you want to mention? You're free to go on.
The problem is I was telling you earlier before we started recording, I listened to like 80 I subscribed to like 80 podcasts. I'm not sure I would say I'd listen to 80 podcasts, but I'm subscribed to and I listen to most of them. I just kind of wanted to tell people about ones that they may not have heard of. Oh, yeah. Another good one that's kind of under the radar, I think, is called Caller Go Ahead. And it's Darren, his name's at Lucky Shirt on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He started this podcast, and I'm like an episode behind, so I don't know where the last one they recorded was January 20th. But basically, he put out a phone number and lets people call in and leave voicemails. And then he turns it into a show. And it's actually amazing. You get these people, how he edits the show, you know, at the beginning of the show, and then they come back in the middle. There's this woman who's watching Twin Peaks for the first time. And as she's watching it, she keeps calling in as she progresses through the show. And so interspersed between different people talking about things, you know, it's kind of like post-secret in podcast form. It's cool. I really, really like it.
That's an interesting conceit. I love the sort of plays on this formula that we have isn't always just following the same patterns that we all use and just messing around with it. And yeah, and stumbling across on something like that idea of just, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm jealous I didn't think of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's one thing I know. Like, I don't know if he's US-based. I thought for some reason.
Yeah, he is.
He is?
Okay. I think he's in LA. I don't know. He keeps moving around. I don't know where he's at.
Yeah, but jealous of you guys having access to Google Voice to just, or is it still out? I don't know if it's still available to sign up for. Maybe they killed it already. But anyways, having those like basically a free voicemail number just to like throw up there and let.
They never released that in Canada?
No, it was never. I'm sure there was like hacks and stuff, and
yeah.
If you know a viable way to use it now in 2015, I'd love to hear about it. But outside of the US, but without
it's
having to like
super,
jump through 60
super
hoops,
super useful.
Yeah,
I mean, totally. We use it. We have a phone number for people to call in for our holiday episode we did this year. We just had hosts of different podcasts call in and leave the questions, and we just answered questions from other podcasts because we wanted to kind of spread the news to our listeners about other podcasts. And so hearing that host's voice and hearing their interesting questions that they asked, we hoped was a way to kind of share the stuff that we like to listen to. It was fun, and we did all through that. Wouldn't have been possible without Google Voice.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the,
I don't know what impossible, but
yeah. Well, you can set up like speaker pipe and I forget all the, there's apps that try and like mimic it, but like the average listener is not going to go to the website and hit flash and record, but they'll talk into their phone because it's comfortable and normal. Right. And
yeah,
that's the part I think that's missing and would be great. Yeah. To have access to that stuff. So anyway, cause it helps just build community and build that listenership and give them a voice on the thing that they listen to. And it's just kind of fun to hear your own, not that it's like so hard to get a podcast out there, but you know, if you listen to a show, it's fun to have that.
And hey, if anyone wants to call, the number is, this is in the US, is 760-881-4382.
There you go.
Call that number and leave us questions. And you can even text that number. I promise I won't pick up the phone. A lot of people get worried. I'm not picking up the phone. It'll go to voicemail. Just let it ring. It goes to voicemail. And leave a message. It might end up in our show.
Nice. Yeah, that is funny that people are like, would be worried that.
I mean, I would. Yeah. I hate the phone. It's funny because I'm here doing a Skype interview. somehow it's different for me, but I really do hate the phone. Like, it makes me nervous for some reason.
Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah. I see Jen 10 in the chat room mentioned that you did answer her question. So there's testimony that actually works.
It actually happens.
It's not just something you're blowing smoke out. All right. So in addition to the phone number, where can folks find you, follow you guys, keep up with what's going on?
I'm on Twitter at Aaron L. M. Goodwin. That's L as in Lee, M as in Mosh Pit. and our website is 3g3q.co. Someone snabbed the .com. I always get asked about that, but 3g3q.co is our podcast website. Other than that, we're on Twitter. The podcast's Twitter account is _3g3q.
Nice.
And follow me and talk to me. I love talking to people. You're not going to bother me.
I know.
I know how to mute.
Yeah. You notice? I notice you're using Tumblr for the site itself.
Yeah.
How's that been actually using Tumblr? Because it seems like that's a missing. Like, I'm guessing. I don't know. Whenever I've experimented with audio on Tumblr, it seems like a great way to do it. Especially, I would like now that they've added the ability, I think, for audio to play even as you scroll through your timeline or something. I saw
really?
Something about that.
Yeah. But. So our audio is not, I mean, it's not hosted there. It's obviously just an embedded player from Simplecast. The reason we did Tumblr is that I started out in web design. I did that for a number of years, and then I kind of got into educational technology. So I'm an IT guy to school, but I knew that if I was like, I'm just going to build a CMS, or I'm going to look for the perfect CMS to host this on, or I'll build a big WordPress install and do all this fancy schmancy stuff, I realized like I would never actually do the podcast. I would just spend time building the website for the podcast.
Yeah.
So I said, what's the quickest and dirtiest way to do this? And I went for Tumblr. And obviously, there's some things that are kind of so if I want to do a short link to an episode, I have to go in and manually add that every single week, which is a pain. But other than that, I mean, it's you just put up the markdown show notes and you put the embedded player in there, and it seems to work for right now. So if I ever have a whole bunch of time sometime in the future, maybe I'll build a better website. But I mean, I think it works nice. I've had people. Who are web designers like, what is this running on? I'm like, it's Tumblr.
Well, cost-wise too, it's free.
Yeah, can't be
and,
free.
And also they take care of all the infrastructure and you don't have to, you're not worrying about plugins and things to update and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah
nice. Definitely. And I really do think that there's some sort of missing avenue that Tumblr could really push down. If maybe they will with podcasting being so popular now where I could see a, especially sort of a short form podcast being really popular on Tumblr itself, yeah. regardless of iTunes and all the other stuff that we are all used to. But because mm-hmm. just the dashboard and some, the way people subscribe and listen to
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, stuff. our numbers show, and I'm surprised because I don't ever listen to a podcast on the page. You right. know, I have a podcast player, but I mean, it's at least like 70% of our listens come from our website.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the traffic's coming to. And so I think there's an untapped market mm-hmm. for that. And Tumblr, I mean, Tumblr really does have the infrastructure to do it.
Well, and the reshareability, the reblogging, whatever mm-hmm. they call it, that makes it so easy to find and share the stuff that is just so yeah. hard to do on the regular web for most folks anyways. But yeah, that's a common thing too I hear from podcasters is that they're always surprised how many people are actually listening to their website because most podcasters, you know how to use a podcast app and they'll spend time trying 10 different apps and finding the right one and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
the average user is just like, I'll just go to the website, hit play on the latest one and try and remember to go back when it comes out again, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or follow Twitter or whatever.
It's tough too, because it's a bit infuriating to the people who are making the podcast because we want people to subscribe, right? We want to know, have kind of an expectation of what the show numbers are going to be and when they're going to happen.
Yeah.
And so when people listen on the website, they might, you know, save up two and listen to one, and then the it's just crazy making. But I understand it; it makes sense. But
yeah,
it is just kind of like, you know, trying to track your numbers and keep track of how everything happens and why it happens is kind of just futile. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
futile. Futile sounds like a system.
Yeah,
of government. Futile.
Moats and yeah. No, I know what you mean.
It's that too, though. Yeah. It's that too.
If only we could lock our listeners in a cage and force them to listen. That's what you're saying. But
yes, I'd like to be the lord of podcasting.
Well, I hear Skype is fiddling on us, going staticky and, whoa, and goofy on right. us. So we better stop before we get too far ahead on Skype. But thanks, Aaron, for signing up to come on the show. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. And for folks who are listening and want to be on the show, like I've mentioned before, goodstuff.appointlet.com is where you can go and just book a time in. And if a time doesn't work for you, like I said before, I record Tuesday mornings live stream here on goodstuff.fm/live. You can email me, chris@goodstuff.fm, and we'll schedule something outside of that as well. So you can follow Good Stuff. Good Stuff _FM is where you can hear about all the other shows that we're doing, all the great shows that we do on Good Stuff. And I'm iChris on Twitter. And Show Me Your Mic has its own Twitter account, SMYM_FM. My thanks to Campaign Monitor and A Small Orange for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. If you'd like to support me and Show Me Your Mic directly, you can do so on my Patreon, patreon.com/iChris. I think that's it for this episode. Be sure, like I said, if you're in the LA area, check out the Good Stuff Hangout meetup thingy that's happening today. And we'll see you next time on Show Me Your Mic. Thanks for listening. Bye. We'll be right back.